Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have rapidly moved from the season of the Nativity of Christ in Bethlehem, which marks the beginning of Jesus' life as the incarnate Son of God. And then we moved on into Theophany, which marked the beginning of Jesus' public ministry when he was 30 years old and baptized by John the Baptist. And now, this morning, we read the account of Jesus coming back down from Galilee into Jerusalem. And this really marks the beginning of his entry into Jerusalem, where he will be spit upon, mocked, beaten, and crucified, and then in power rise again from the dead. So the procession of the shepherds and the wise men at the Nativity give way to the procession of Jesus and his disciples in his ministry of healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead, forgiving sinners. And that in turn gives way now to the procession of Jesus. Picture him. He is coming down from Galilee with his disciples. And it's a procession of him and his disciples and the crowd as they come near Jerusalem. Picture this. We have Jesus coming down and he enters into Jericho. And if we had read the latter part of the chapter preceding this, we would have noticed that upon entering into Jericho, he encounters the blind man. And remember there too, there's a crowd, and the blind man is crying out to Jesus, "Have mercy upon me, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowd says, "Be quiet. Please be quiet." And he cries the louder. And Jesus comes, says, "What do you want?" He says, "That I might receive my sight." And Jesus heals him. Here we have Jesus as he's leaving Jericho, and he encounters another man who is very intent on being, well, at least on seeing Jesus. Very intent on encountering Jesus. And this is a little man who is in big trouble. He's a little man, he's short in stature, but he's big with money. He's big with power. And in his life, he has used that power in a very selfish way. He has lived off the poor by extorting from them the little that they make and lining his own pockets at the expense of his poor brethren and neighbors. So you have Zacchaeus. The people despise him. He's a little guy. But he's heard about how Jesus has mercy on sinners. And he recognizes himself as a sinner who needs Jesus. He probably also heard that there was another tax collector named Levi whom Jesus had called to be his disciple. And so, even though the text does not tell us exactly what was going on in the heart of Zacchaeus, something was going on there that caused him, at all expenses, to see Jesus. Okay, so he's short. He hears that Jesus is going to be coming by. He isn't going to be able to see Jesus because of the big crowd and because he's so short. So what does he do? He climbs up into a sycamore tree. And that is very significant. I don't know about you, I would imagine this isn't just boys, but I was a normal little boy when I was growing up, and one thing I loved to do was climb trees. I remember one of the most fun things I did as a little child was going to my friend Phil Visser's house. And we got up into his tree, and we spent the night there. His dad was really special and had made a little tree house in the tree. And so I brought my sleeping bag and we went up the tree and we spent the night. That's normal. You'd expect little kids to have fun up in trees, wouldn't you? If I were to do that now, what would you think? Yeah. Oh, boy. You know, it's one thing to like children, Father, but come on. No. I have a friend. And my friend and I, we like to ride bike. And fortunately, that's acceptable. But in our culture, it's not acceptable for grown men to be climbing trees. And that was especially so in that culture. Another thing is that this man, little Zacchaeus, is said to be running. He ran up ahead. Again, in our culture, it's okay. Matter of fact, now it's fine. It's good to run, to try to keep in shape. But I remember not that long ago. I can't imagine seeing my dad run. And no, I don't know if it's because he felt, you know, undignified in doing such a thing, but he liked to sit. Anyway, when Zacchaeus said he needed to see Jesus, he ran. And that was very undignified, especially for a man of his standing in that culture. But why did he do that? Why did he, you know, not care what people were going to think? Why did he, in a shameful way, climb up in a tree and run up ahead and then look, I want to see Jesus? It's because he was so intent. He was like the blind man who said, I don't care what the crowd says, I need to see this Jesus. He let nothing get in his way. And then notice Jesus. This is a story about Zacchaeus, it really is. But you know, it's even more so a story about Jesus. If you had noticed in the beginning of those 10 verses that Deacon Jeffrey read for us this morning, it said, now Jesus and his disciples were coming through Jericho. And then at the end, Jesus said, salvation has come into this house. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. The story is really about Jesus. At the beginning, he has come into this world. Why? When he saw Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus could well have expected to hear the Lord say, you rascal, you son of the devil, look what you've done, look what you're doing. But what did Jesus say? Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today. And I think even more significant than Zacchaeus, and we need to be like Zacchaeus. We need to make sure that we don't let anything get in our way to confronting Jesus, to encountering him, to coming face to face with him. But even more significant is the fact that when Zacchaeus went up that tree to look, Jesus is the one who was looking and looked up in the tree and saw Zacchaeus. Thank God that he sees us. Thank God that he has come here looking for us. The whole story of the gospel, the whole story of this episode, is really a story of God's saving grace through Jesus Christ. Yes, we need to be like Zacchaeus. But thank God that when he sees us, he doesn't throw our sins in our face and say, get away from me, Satan. He says, come here. I know who you are. I know, Zacchaeus. But the words you have heard about me being a gracious, loving God are for you. That is something we need to hear. And we will hear if we let nothing get in our way and confront him. I love the story that Bishop N.T. Wright, the Episcopal bishop in England, tells. He tells a story. You know what? I think I'm wrong. I don't think it was Bishop N.T. Wright. That's another story I'm thinking of. But anyway, there's a story that's told. I think it really is told by our Orthodox priests, Anthony Conieres. There's a story that's told about King George. And by the way, Susan and I have watched the series on The Crown in the Netflix. Beautiful series. And a lot of it's about King George. When King George of England inspected the reconstruction work in one of Britain's heavily bombed cities, thousands of people, including classes of children, school children, lined the streets to catch a glimpse of the king as he's coming by. And after the procession had ended, a small boy was found weeping bitterly. And his teacher said to him, "Well, what is the matter? Why are you crying so much? Didn't you see the king?" He said, "I saw the king, but he didn't see me." Thank God that it is not only we who see Jesus Christ, but he sees us. He sees us in love and compassion, and he calls us and says, "I am going to your house. I am going into your heart. I want to enter into your life." And then we, like Zacchaeus, are changed. The last thing I want to point out is what happened when Zacchaeus encountered Christ and Christ entered into his house. What did Zacchaeus do then? He said, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." You know, Jesus had told the rich young ruler that he had to sell everything he had, give to the poor, and then come follow Jesus. This man said, "I give half to the poor, and anything that I have, anyone I have defrauded, I will repay four times." And this is where Bishop N.T. Wright made a statement. He said, "You know, if you consider that, half of his goods are given away. The other half, probably most of the other half of those goods were used to restore those whom he had defrauded." This man's financial situation was severely reduced. And that is honestly the story of Christ whenever he speaks to people of wealth. It's hard for rich people to enter the kingdom. Not impossible. But rich people, if they are touched by this Jesus, are not going to use their wealth selfishly or use their wealth just as a means to produce more wealth for themselves. They will use their resources to help the poor. Spiritual poor, physical poor, those who are in need. May we climb the trees and look for Jesus and let nothing get in our way. And may we hear Jesus say to us, "Today I am going to enter into your house, into your heart, into your life." And then respond to that word of grace and in love share our resources. That was the proof that he had been touched by Jesus. That was the proof. God give us grace and thank him for Jesus our Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.